Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Thank you. struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. For the needy shall not alway be forgotten, the expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians, chapters 9 and 10. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let mine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. To them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too. Whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'All the laborers have paid in their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received an inheritance. And when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received an inheritance. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master.
This is the gospel of the Lord.
And was Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Matthew 20, verses 10 to 12, as translated in the New English Bible. When it was the turn of the men who had come first, they expected something extra, but were paid the same amount as the others. As they took it, they grumbled at their employer. "These latecomers have done only 1 hour's work, yet you have put them on the same level with us, who sweated the whole day long in the blazing sun." On this Sunday called Septuagesima, which means that it is about 70 days until Easter comes, the gospel is this parable of our Lord, which comes as something of a challenge both to preachers and to hearers. You know the old saying, life is unfair. And anybody who's been on this earth for any length of time knows only too well that life often does seem to be unfair in all kinds of ways. And yet, isn't it also true that whenever we come up against this unpleasant fact of life, we often find ourselves a bit surprised, even resentful, that this should be so? And isn't it our sense of fairness that is perhaps offended by the story Jesus tells in the Gospel for this Sunday? The workers who'd been hired first thing in the morning complained that they'd been treated unfairly, because at the end of the day they received no more wages than the workers who'd been hired just one short hour before the workday ended. They grumble at their employer. "These latecomers have done only 1 hour's work, and you've paid them the same as us, who've sweated the whole day long in the blazing sun." You can hear the bitter resentment, the sense of grievance. Unfair, unfair. Same wages for 1 hour's work as for the whole day. That just doesn't make any sense, and any business managed in that way would sooner rather than later find itself out of business. So what on earth is our Lord saying in the story he tells? What on earth is the point of it all? Well, the first thing to keep firmly in mind is that this story isn't a lesson in wages and labor relations. No, it's a parable. And what is a parable? A parable is one of those often surprising, sometimes puzzling stories Jesus tells to point the mystery of his person, who he in fact is, and what God the Father is doing through him. It's all about Jesus. And Jesus doesn't begin the story by saying, "Now this is how the world should be run and business done." No, he begins the story by saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like this story I'm now going to tell you." And what is the kingdom of heaven of which Jesus speaks? It's not so much a place as it is an activity, what God is doing through Jesus, bringing us poor sinners back to himself and placing us safely and securely under the gentle rule of his mercy, his forgiving love. Of course, our sense of fairness is offended when we hear how men who'd worked just 1 hour received the same pay as those who'd sweated the whole day long in the blazing sun. But that's just the point. Our place in God's kingdom as his dear children isn't a matter of fairness, of what we somehow deserve or can rightly claim as our own. Our place in his kingdom is a pure gift of his sheer goodness, just as the wages paid the workers who'd worked just 1 hour weren't a matter of anything they deserved or something they'd somehow earned. Not fairness, but the sheer goodness of God who delights in giving and forgiving. If you want to talk in terms of fairness, of what we in fact deserve from God, what we in fact deserve is only judgment. And so when in the Catechism, in the Christian questions with their answers, the question is posed, what have you deserved of God because of your sins? Remember the answer? His wrath and displeasure, temporal death, and eternal damnation. That's what fairness requires. It requires God's judgment. And the fact that this truth seems so strange to people today, so difficult, is not a sign of progress and enlightenment, but of spiritual blindness, of blindness to the ugly reality of sin as a terrible offense against the sheer goodness of our Maker. It was Nicholas Berdyaev who once said that one of the characteristics of Christianity is to change a sense of grievance into a sense of sin, to change a sense of grievance into a sense of sin. Because we deserve God's judgment, everything we are, everything we have, is a sheer goodness from the God who has no pleasure in the death of sinners, but came down to the manger, the cross, and the tomb, that we might be freely and fully forgiven, raised up to the joy of living under the mercy now and forever. And so the end of it all is that this surprising, even troubling story Jesus tells is not some kind of lesson in wages and labor relations, but it is the good news that our place in God's kingdom here and hereafter is not a reward for effort on our part, but the sheer gift of his unmerited and costly love. Or to put it another way, God saves us, he makes us his by grace, not because of anything he has seen in us, but because of who he in fact is, the gracious Lord who hates nothing he has made and takes delight in forgiving the sins of all those who are penitent. Here there can be no talk of fairness, of accomplishment, of reward, but of grace alone. That grace which is the undeserved, tender mercy of the Lord, whose goodness we taste again this day in the gift of the holy body born of Mary and the precious blood shed on the cross outside the city gates of Jerusalem. Lift we then our voices, swell the mighty flood, louder still and louder, praise the precious blood. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. In our prayers this morning, we pray for all those who mourn the death of our sister in Christ, Dorothy Bell, who fell asleep in the Lord this past Thursday. We pray also for Philip Perviance, who is recovering from COVID. We pray for Joe Silver, who will undergo surgery this coming Friday. And we pray for Yolanda Ford, who is now in the Future Care Nursing Home on North Point Boulevard. Let us stand and pray for the church and the world. We humbly implore you, Almighty and most merciful Father, graciously to receive these our prayers which we bring before you for your holy church throughout all the world, that you would be pleased to guard, to govern, and to keep it in concord and peace everywhere, and to grant that all who confess your holy name may agree in the truth of your holy word and live in unity and godly love. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all bishops, pastors, and ministers of your word, especially Matthew, the chief pastor of our synod, John, the chief pastor of this district, the chaplains of the armed forces of our nation, and the missionaries of your grace at home and abroad. Lord, in your mercy. Graciously regard your servants, the President of the United States, the Governor of this state, the Congress and our legislature, our judges and magistrates and all the rulers of the earth, and grant them wisdom and understanding that under their peaceable governance your people may be guarded and directed in righteousness, quietness, and justice. Lord, in your mercy. Have mercy upon the infirmities of all people. Deliver the world from error. Take away disease. Ward off famine. Set free those who are innocently imprisoned, especially those who are in suffering for your name's and for your truth's sake, and those who are prisoners of war. Grant a safe return to the wayfarers, health to the sick, especially to all those for whom our prayers are desired. Grant consolation to the bereaved and light to the erring. Lord, in your mercy. Keep in the protection of your holy angels all who travel. Give to our loved ones your help and your favor, and a constant sense of your nearness and of your love. And to the enemies of your church, grant the grace of repentance unto salvation. Lord, in your mercy. We also remember before you, O Lord, your faithful servant Dorothy, and all those who have gone before us with the sign of faith and are now fallen asleep. Grant that we, together with them, may be partakers of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Let us now sing stanzas 7 through 10 of hymn 555.